Hello there. This episode is sponsored by Tabana Gas, because without it, you'll never be able to jump to light speed. If you like what you hear, please like, subscribe, tell your friends, and without further ado, here's the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Padawan Unlimited podcast. I am your host, Gil, and today I'm joined again by recurring co-hosts. We took a week off, but they're back. Corey and Rob, how are you guys doing?
Ahoy. Great to be
Hello
back.
Hello there.
Hello there. So if anyone's watching the YouTube video YouTube video of this, we're trying to up our game here. And if you can tell, we're, you know, using some different lighting, some different quality of cameras and such. But
I even cleaned mine off tonight.
Yeah. So we just got off like 30 minutes of like testing, audio testing and video testing. But, you know, we're trying to make better production value for everyone out there. So thank you for listening. So a lot happened today in the Swooniverse.
Couple days just got dumped with stuff.
Yeah, dumped with, like, in multiple languages. So we had to use Google Translate. Exactly. For anyone who is not aware of what changes are occurring, maybe we'll talk about a couple right now. But Rob, you can go first. Is there anything that really stuck out to you with the new content that was released?
Honestly, the big one for me is that there's going to be legendaries in the organized play packs. The Han legendary pilot is going to be in the organized play packs, which leads me to believe that we may also get Vader in there to have a villainous counterpart, because those are the two legendary pilots. So fingers crossed, because I'm looking at Vader, although I thought he was a little bit underwhelming in certain decks. I think he's going to be very good, so I'm kind of looking at Vader.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
Spicy.
Nice.
How about you, Corey?
Well, I think it's actually something we didn't get that I want to mention, and that's a Thrawn unit.
I know! I was so sad about
it. No Thrawn unit, right? Like, we were so sure, and no, yeah. We did not get one. Hondo was the blue that we got.
Yeah, Hondo was the blue. That was kind of weird.
So, I was thinking we're definitely getting one, especially after, like, we got the artwork on the side, right? So I was right there with you, Rob, but that's fine. There was some pretty spicy cards, though, so I'm excited to see them and get into it. Like, we're basically a week and a few days away from pre-release. So
yeah, it's week.
It's coming up fast.
so fast. And I'm debating how many pre-releases to go to. I'm trying to, you know, a lot of fun.
Go to in a day. That's the thing.
A lot of funding.
You're coming out to Thursday, right, Gil?
Well, my wife is going to be back. She's going to be gone for 3 weeks, 3 days that week. And she's coming back, like, on the Wednesday. So unfortunately, I don't think I can make it.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think for me, the thing that excited me the most, and it's probably not what most people would like, is that they released the kind of like prize support, or like the products that are going to be out in like the regional and sector qualifiers and stuff. And I kind of like the game mats. Like,
oh yeah, those are
especially
sweet.
Like, it says, like, it's kind of corny, but it says, you know, participant on the bottom.
You get them championship mats, or you can have this nice participant mat, which it's a nice mat, I will say. Yeah. It's a great mat, and it's just funny. It's like, oh yeah, you couldn't get the other one, so here, a little participation medal. But
it's a gorgeous mat. I am a fan. And we also got to see some cards and stuff like that, and like you know, Plo Koon. There's an interesting C-3PO like robot one that he looks like he's ejected out to space, which is kind of fun.
The BB-8 one is kind of cool too. It's nice and colorful.
What does BB-8 do? I actually don't think I saw that one.
It's a mat. What card is that? It's just the art from the card, but I don't remember which card that was.
Just the card.
Yeah, because like the mats were just card art, right? So like the Rey mat, Plo Koon mat. Now there are two of them.
I guess that's true. Out of all the new cards that were released, aside from the disappointing Thrawn that we did not get unit, what is there any cards that you're like excited for? We'll start with you, Rob. Any card like
title card, baby? Title, the title card. Jump to light speed.
Jump to light speed.
What are we, some kind of Suicide Squad?
yeah, I know, right? Jump to light speed, I think, is as you guys have probably heard me say multiple times at this point. I think Django Tarkintown has gotten an incredible amount of tools, and this one just turns it to 11. That is a double attacking fire spray. So, for those of you who haven't read the card, it's a 2 cost. And what it says is that you return a card to your a friendly card to your hand, and any upgrades that were on it to your hand. And then the next time you play that card, it plays for free. So you can play it on, you can play it off a TDR, then jump to light speed, take it back to your hand, and then play it again, and you attack twice with fire spray. That's on resource 6.
That's pretty brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, that's also like a Ruthless Raider dropping twice. It doesn't attack twice, but it at least drops twice. So you're getting, you know, 4 damage to base, 4 damage to the board, and then the 4 from the attack. So, you know, there's a lot of potential there with this.
Yeah. How about you, Corey?
I mean, the Annihilator card text is just nuts. Yeah, it is really good. It's nuts. It's like, it seems so situational and very much like, it's a cost 11, so it's a capital ship, 11 cost, 12, and it says, when played and when defeated, you may defeat an enemy unit, so you have to have a unit on the board. If you do, research the controller's deck and name a card,
and hand,
and just discard all of them. So the names have to match. So if you have like an opponent that has 9 Falcons in their deck in hand, it's just like they're all gone. So it's definitely anti-control for sure. But it's an 11 cost, so we'll see how viable it gets to be. But that card text is nuts.
I mean, 9 cost is crazy.
Yeah. That card says if you play this second, you win the control mirror.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, maybe, you know, 9 costs with Piet, so we'll see if there's any play. Yep. I mean, I've seen Piet destroy a lot of Piet green, or Piet blue is one of those decks that's like defeats a lot of other decks. It hard loses to like Sabine, but like it's like you're winning a lot of different things.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be pretty fun early on, and you're gonna have to be able to figure that matchup out if you're going against it.
You know what card I'm excited for? Not that I'm ever going to play it. Is you know how I talked about I want a card where they have that holdover maneuver like comes through, and like they actually had a card that does that. So I'm just telling you, my win rate with guessing is pretty high. I was kidding.
Yeah, I'm sad they didn't call it the holdover maneuver. Like it's just, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, what is it? It defeats it's like you defeat a friendly unit, it defeats an enemy unit, and then you deal damage equal to the enemy unit's power to base, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, something wild. Something that I think is too complicated to actually use in like competitive play, but it would be really fun to use in like draft, just to pull that off or something. Okay, so we, you know, a lot of stuff again that has come out, and where the full set's out. Maybe in the next episode we'll talk about draft strategies for set 4. I think people would appreciate that update because things are changing dramatically. But I think the main topic actually today is actually we're going to talk now that set 3 is kind of like pretty much coming to a close. Season 2 of Season 0, I'll say, is also officially over, right? I'm talking about, like, competitive play. I wanted to get us to talk about bad habits. Because, you know, people, especially for me, I'm a new TCG player, relatively new TCG player that hasn't even been playing for a year yet. Close to a year, but not a year yet. You know, new players, we build these habits that may or may not be very optimized for gameplay and could either hinder our performance or, you know, make the game not pleasurable for ourselves and other people. And as a community, I'm sure we want to do better, I'll say. So I think we want to do a roundtable discussion on just like bad habits. And these could be like anything. It could be like bad habits on the table, like actually playing, or bad habits like at home on the table, like you're leaving your cards disorganized, you know. So there's
just
a lot.
Get the obvious one out of the way, and just make sure, as a TCG player, make sure you shower before you go to events, please.
Please.
Yeah. Personal hygiene. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. I you know what? I do actually try to be relatively like put together for events. Like, I'll cut my nails. Mm-hmm. I'll brush my teeth. I do all types of stuff. I'm like, oh, like, I don't, I want to represent a good, like front to a professional front.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go yourself, by and way. Go like, hey, that Gil guy from Padawan Unlimited, he kind of stinks.
I know, right? Like, his content.
And he's also bad at the game.
I know, right? Oh my God. So I'm going to start off with the first thing that I know I do a lot. It's a bad habit that, I'm sure other people do. Mine is not announcing what I'm doing at the table. So, like, you're supposed to tell everybody, you're supposed to tell your opponent, like, I'm playing two resources to do this, right?
Right.
But, you know, we're in such an automatic, like you do something, I do something. There's been times where literally I've forgotten to, like, say anything, and I'll just, like, resource a card, like, my last card in my hand, and I'll, like, put my hands together and be like a magician, like, gone. And I physically don't say anything. And I remember that confused the person one time. Everyone else, because we were like the last table, so playing funny. in like a top four, like for store showdown, and so everyone was watching us, and I didn't say anything. I just fucking put a card down, and I did the my hit with a hand motion, and he was like, "What just happened?" Which is, so that's a bad habit of mine. I don't announce.
I'm right there with you. I forget to announce my plays as much as the next guys. So that is a part of it. They do say, even at the PQ we went to in Philly, they were saying, try to remember, announce your plays to your opponent. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Rob?
Well, just to follow up on that, and then I do have another bad habit, but to follow up on that, like, a little bit of what you guys are talking about is actually something that I developed a good habit for, because I used to play a lot of tabletop war games. So, like, announcing what you're doing, because intent often matters when you're kind of fiddling around with little miniatures and tape measures and stuff like that. So, so, you know, saying like, I am going to charge this unit into this unit. Here's what I'm measuring. You know, this is what I rolled, that type of stuff. Kind of is second nature to me. And I always, the other one that I always try to at least make sure I do, if I'm not being good about announcing literally every step along the way, is life totals. Life totals, announcing your life totals to your opponent, both when you make an attack and when they make an attack, just so everybody's on the same page, clears up any confusion a lot of times. But one of my bad habits that I've been trying to clean up, because I'll do this and catch myself doing it and realize it's a little bit of a tell. And that is, when I'm deciding what I'm going to play for a given turn, sometimes I will tap the resources before I play the card. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, like, if I tap six, you know, I've got something that costs six in my hand. So,
yeah. Oh, that's
so, so yeah. It's something that, like, I've been trying to make sure I don't do until I, like, if I'm still thinking through a turn, to make sure that I don't tap my resources as I'm thinking about it. I won't do it. I try not to do it until I'm ready to make the play, basically.
Yep, that's a good one. I do the same thing, especially when it comes to, like, Luke. I'm like, do I have seven?
Yeah, you're counting your resources. Or you start picking up a certain number of resources, like, all right, this is that. You're putting them to the side.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you, Corey? Mm-hmm. The habit for you?
So one of the habits that I know I need to get better at recognizing when it's happening, because it's one of those things that happens during a match, and that's a singular focus on, I want to do this, and I will do whatever it takes to make sure I do that and sacrifice a better play because I'm not seeing that line anymore, because I want to do this one thing, and so now that's all I see. I can't get out of that one move that I want to do, and so I'm not even paying attention to what they're doing because it doesn't matter, I'm going to do this. And so for me, I'm like, why did I, like, not think about it? They just did this other thing. I should be doing this move. I should be pivoting to this thing. But instead, I'm like, oh, nope, I'm going to play this card because that's what I was going to do before they started their move. And that's what I wanted to do when this match started. And it's like singular focus on the move that you have in mind and not recognizing you need to pivot or being flexible in a way to improve your position instead of just like, oh, this was the best thing I was going to do. but it may not be that best thing anymore.
Right, right. Fair enough. Yeah, that one's that's a good, yeah, you get so laser focused on like this is what I got to do that you kind of neglect all the other stuff. That's a good one. All right. So, let's continue this rotation. For me, another one that I did, another bad habit, and it's not that it's bad, but like you should be doing this, is that you need to double check what an opponent is doing and just not trust that they're counting damage or resolving rules the way it needs to be resolved. Seriously, and part of this is like, so I guess the bad habit is like not learning the cards that you need to learn so that you understand what the opponent's doing.
Yeah.
But, and so I'm not saying... Yeah.
No, I went on taco. I was going to interrupt. I was like, one of mine was assuming a card does a thing because that your opponent said it does a thing, right? Don't assume like you know what the card is or the opponent knows what the card is, right? The same idea.
So yeah, not that I think they're intentionally malicious, but people have different understandings on text. And sometimes you need to it's better to resolve it early and think about it versus like, it time passing and then you have to call a judge and the seven actions that occurred and now you have to unresolve it all. You know, and this is particularly very important like when you're like at a top table, you know, final eight, four finalists or whatever, because you've got that far, why lose on this random technicality that was not supposed to happen anyway, you know?
And to that point, Gil, and this is something, again, comes from my tabletop days. Do not be afraid to call a judge. You're not being a dick by calling a judge. You are making sure that everything is being played on the up and up. Even if it ends up being something that you assumed anyway, but you weren't 100% on, don't be ashamed to call them over. You know, don't be afraid to do it. That's what they're there for. And that's, you know, it's to make sure that everything goes, it gets played cleanly, basically.
Yeah, someone mentioned it to me the other day because I always feel bad about calling a judge because I'm new to the card game. I feel like weird, but if you traveled, if you paid to be there, like you should get your money's worth because a lot of times these PQs are, you're not even getting packs, you're not getting any prizing, you're just there and they give you like that participation card, whatever that is, like
invisible hand this time,
and then that's it. That's all you're getting. And so, like, you should feel empowered to raise your hand, call a judge over to resolve something because they're getting ideal. Actually, typically, I think lots of them get paid or some type of compensation for their time.
They definitely have a judge's program that gives them rewards. But yeah, I totally agree with that because your understanding of card text and how it reads to you is not necessarily the same. And not, again, like you mentioned, not maliciously saying, oh, you're wrong. You're just like, let me understand. So that way I can improve my game. You can improve your game. We're all getting better here and making the game better because now everyone's on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's mine. How about you, Rob? What is your next bad habit?
I don't do this as much anymore, but again, you know, I speak to my tournament experience as a miniature gamer, but tilting at windmills. Tilting at windmills. So it's a Don Quixote reference. But it's when something goes wrong and you start to, it kind of piggybacks on what Corey was talking about. You start to tunnel vision. You start to lose focus on what it is. You're like, I can't believe that thing went wrong. Or like a great example is, so when we were playing it was just like a local tournament at Axe House. First round of the game, or sorry, last match of the game, but it was the first overall match that I had played. I was playing a Django Mirror, and I'm looking at the cards. I'm like, I got him dead to rights. Like, if they get to the next turn, they kill me, but I've got him this turn. And all I needed to do was play TDR and hit something that did 3 damage. Well, I played TDR and I hit the only thing I hit was a Cartel Spacer.
Oh, God. Oh no.
And I almost just conceded the game. I said, and initially I was like, I can't believe it. And, you know, cause like there's so many cards in there that have 3 attack. And I just said, all right, you know what? Hang on. Let me stop. Let me think this through. And it was like, okay, I think I had like, so I didn't have to pay the extra 1 resource. I had a Daring Raid in hand and I still had Tarkentown available. The only thing I needed to do was make sure that I killed my opponent's Fire Spray. So I throw the Cartel into it. I throw the Daring Raid at it. And then I Tarken it. And And I ended up winning that last game with like one health left, but like it was, it, you know, that was all I needed.
Yeah.
But if I just tilted and been like, I can't believe I missed the three attack, I lose the game. Then I gave away a game that I could have won potentially.
Cool. Fair. Keep a cool head. Even if the situation seems dire, and there, you find a way, just like life finds a way. All right. So, okay. How about you, Corey? Next bad habit.
Yeah, I think they all kind of feed into one another, but yeah, that's like playing too fast or too slow. So essentially, like, you want to have a good pace with your game, and you don't want to like rush yourself into bad moves and just like start playing fast and fast, or your opponent's playing super fast and then you're starting to try to keep pace with them. Like, don't feel pressured to play at the pace that your opponent's playing at. Don't feel pressured to play faster or slower than you feel comfortable. I think sometimes because my opponent is trying to do something quickly, I want to be at their, I want to match their, you know, energy. So it's like,
yeah,
but that throws me off my game, right? Yeah. So instead of being able to do the things I want to do, I'm now thinking about my opponent and like how quickly or how slowly they're playing. And now I want to just try to match their energy. I was like, I don't need to do that. I just need to play at my pace.
Yeah.
And play my game. So,
yeah. Okay. Fair. Yeah, no, that's good. I always try to match. I always match other people's energies, and it does not do well for me. So I totally understand. I totally get that one. Maybe we'll do one more round of these bad habits, and we'll see where we go from there. So I'm gonna do a non-game one.
Let's do it.
And my last bad habit I'll talk about is putting my cards away, / organizing them in a consistent manner. So I finally cleared like all the cards that have been lying around. Like, I put it in a, here. Like, I put, these are like
video all, YouTube watchers. Yeah.
Yeah. I now I have this red binder of like all my organized rares, so that like in like the play sets. So they're all in one place and not like in various things. And then I also just literally cleared like the desk of all, I put them all away in like specific boxes, like just set one, set two, set three, all my bulk. And like now my, for the first time in months, my table is like clear of cards. And
I don't want to talk about my table right now.
It's you know, it's a bad habit, because at the end, like, you're not taking care of your cards, like, especially if they're like good ones. Like I have rares and legendaries sometimes I have sitting out that like I should actually probably put away, because, you know, if I'm thinking about the value of the card or losing it. Like, one time I lost a Boba Fett legendary when the set first came out. I knew I had three, but I couldn't find the third one because I didn't put my cards away. It was literally on the ground, like 2 feet away from my desk, like just sitting there. Yeah. Like, and I could have stepped on it. I don't know. Like, I could have all done all types of stuff, but like, because I didn't put my cards away, bad habit, my clutterness. I know I'm not the only one who has this issue.
Maria Kondo energy.
Yeah. Do these bulk cards give me joy? If not, recycle them. So
no. You burn them in the fireplace to keep warm in the winter.
Oh, I feel bad burning cards. Is that? Yeah. I feel like I would. I feel so bad. Although with all the cards I have, I could probably last like the entire winter with these cards.
Keep that house, man.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. How about you? How about you, Rob? What's another bad habit? Well, last bad habit you want to talk about?
I'll talk about it in terms of like tournament prep. Making sure you eat a good breakfast, get a good night's sleep, and like have things like small, like energy type snacks, like nuts or things like that to make it through a long day, a PQ like that.
Rob, you got to form it in like a question, right? It's like, yeah, do the opposite. It's like, these are bad habits. That's, you're talking about good things right now.
Well, no. I'm saying I don't always do this. And so, okay. And so like making sure that I prep the night before and the day of, so that I can have a good day at a tournament and not not have my blood sugar drop like, you know, halfway through the day and seriously, you lose that brain power when you're just like, man, all I can think about is how hungry I am. You know, those types of things. So,
yeah,
you know, making sure I have a good night's rest and a good meal before I start.
So typically your bad habit is actually you don't sleep, you don't eat, You don't take everybody. You don't take everybody.
My bad habit is that I don't eat, or I don't get enough sleep the night before, or I don't eat properly the morning of.
Yeah. No, that's real important for sure.
How about you? How about you, Corey? Last bad habit.
So last one I want to mention, and it's more not necessarily, I know I've done it here and there, but it's more something that I notice opponents do to me sometimes that it irks me, and that's touching my cards.
Oh, like, dude.
Don't touch my cards.
Oh, dude. Dude, you're preaching to the choir. Like, okay.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I'm playing my cards out. Like, sure, if you want to read the cards, like, just ask me. It's like, hey, can I just read that card? It's like, yeah, I'll give it to you. But don't reach across and mess with my board. And not that I'm saying people are going to be malicious or try to do some unforeseen things that I like. But when you reach across, they do things. They manipulate your board. They could change stuff. They could tap something you don't recognize or realize they're doing. Mm. And so just like, keep your hands on your side. I'll keep my hands on my side. If I want to see a card or read a card, I'll ask you and you can hand it to me and I'll hand it to you. But don't touch my stuff without talking to me first.
Dude, this is a can of worms right now. Like, we're at the end of the podcast. I'm going to talk about this for like the next 10 minutes because
do it, man.
That is really annoying. There were times where I'm like, I might accidentally touch a card, but like at this point in the game, like I'm literally when I like, let's say I have an upgrade, like a perilous position or something. I'm like, hey, I'm going to put this under can I put this under your card? Or I'll put it on top of their card and like, let them touch it because I'm like,
right.
You know, like, or when people touch like your damage dice or your counters and they just start putting it on your stuff. Wild.
Like, yeah, I try to always be like, hey, you didn't like put the damage here, or you didn't like mark up your die here. I won't do it for them unless they say, hey, do you mind if I do this? I'll try to make sure I talk to the person first. But yeah, I don't want them to do that to me at all, so I try not to do it to them. But it can get annoying sometimes because people will just be like, reach across. It's like, again, the board state needs to stay the way I remember it. Like, don't mess with that because there's so much more going on I need to focus on. So I don't want to be thinking like, wait, did he do something here?
Yeah.
I'm definitely like one who like, I will like point across and maybe like tap a card, but yeah, I'm not going to like not physically tap a card, but like point to and touch a card.
Mind your opponent. That's fine. Yeah, but like, don't do it for him.
You know, like, hey, put damage here effectively, but that's about as far as I go. I'm not going to.
Or it's like, hey, don't forget the ping damage. Yeah,
I'm pinging this here and I'll tap the card, you know, like that type of thing.
But don't be like, oh, I'm going to play Django's power and I'll reach across here and tap your guy. What? Back off, buddy.
Dude, have you ever had... So, all right, now this can of worms has been open. Has anyone ever, like, when you know, you're supposed to cut, right? They're supposed to do some type of shuffle or whatever. Has anyone actually picked up your cards and, like, did the shuffle, like, the
ripple shuffle
to you?
No one's riffle shuffled, but I've had opponents shuffle my deck.
Dude, someone's did that to me one time. It was with Ray Blue last set. So, you know, I had Luke's and stuff in there. I was like, this is real? Like, is this person just doing that?
Happening?
Like, so talk about getting tilted, Rob, like in your bad habit a couple, like 10 minutes, 5 minutes ago. I got so tilted when that happened. I was like, are you, what? This, what?
Yeah. Was
that at the bearded showdown?
No. This was at a PQ. This was at Red Seal Gaming PQ, like the first PQ I ever went to.
Really?
Some dude just did that. It was a Sabine player too.
I think you told me this too when that happened.
Dude, disrespect. I was like, this guy just played Sabine and then also not that Sabine's bad, I'm just saying that like and then like shuffled my deck like sorry.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's what I had as one of the things I might have mentioned was like when you shuffle people riffle shuffling sleeved cards, like don't riffle, we'll shuffle.
No, just edge shuffle. Jesus.
Yeah, dude, that's what they're there for.
Heathens!
I do like the like this like a very soft cut. I'm like, here's a card, and take off half, and then I put.
Use two hands. I mean, it's boop boop. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, like I do a triple cut most times, but like I mean, like it's. But yeah, like I mean, I'm not opposed to my opponent shuffling my deck. I know some people that's just how they roll. Just edge shuffle.
Well, just I mean, I am a collector, as we mentioned, the collector, yep. the overspender. I want to keep my cards pristine. Like that's why we double sleeve them. That's why we're protecting them in deck boxes and pods or whatever. Yep. And so when we're shuffling them, like nice and easy. And when I'm shuffling yours, I'm doing the same thing. I'm going to make sure I show that same respect that I have for my cards.
I am passive aggressive now with that. So I triple sleeved mine. So you can try to try to shuffle that, but you're not going to be able to do it. So you have to physically lift my cards and put it.
That's right, because you have the inner sleeve, the Padawan sleeves, and the outer sleeve for the Padawan sleeve.
Yeah. Well, I'm also trying to protect the IP, at that point. Yeah. So, which I need to get you guys some sleeves, some Padawan mm-hmm. limited sleeves, and which also, since we're at the end of the podcast, I also want to say, as a reminder, once we hit 500 subs on the YouTube, I will be raffling off, or will be raffling off, a convention pack for 2024 convention pack. That's right now it's valued anywhere between $250 to $325. I don't think that's really ever going to go down.
Only going to go up, brother. Because if they don't reprint it.
Yeah, especially since the next set is Legends of the Force or whatever. So mm-hmm. All those Force cards are going to be really primo. So, it's a thank you to everyone out there who's listening. We all really appreciate your time, your comments, your subscriptions, your likes. I know I owe like at least episode 35, so I'll send a private link out to people who are interested in that. But I'm also still trying to figure out how to make it so that I can help reward the OGs here. So like some type of form, I have to figure out how to do it on the Padawan Unlimited website. I started adding articles, so like written content. I have one post now. I'll probably do something weekly on top of like the YouTube and the podcast like stuff. We'll talk about deck techs. We'll get insights from Rob and potentially and Corey on like different cards just in written form for those of you who might not be interested in like listening to things, or we had completely different topics that are just better in that medium, right? Just better being written out, and then also in the future we are so as you can see, we already started upgrading like sound and video. I also did procure like more equipment to do tabletop like recorded games, so we're gonna try to do that in the future, especially for starting with set four, maybe more off meta like deck techs where we're actually like playing the decks, and so you can see how we make decisions, and then also maybe if you see mistakes or whatever, like you can also learn from those as well. So we're going to try to do that more in the future. Look forward to that. And that's for me. So Rob, Corey, any final words from you guys before we close for the evening?
I'm so sad about Thrawn.
I echo everything you said, Gil. Like, we really appreciate all the people checking us out, watching, commenting, and subscribing to the podcast, and hopefully the content we put out there is something you guys can gain something from. And because I can talk for hours about Star Wars and this card game. It's so much fun, and reach out to us.
We do talk for hours about
yeah, I mean, we do like 30 minutes here on this video, and then we'll do like another like later on, not recorded, but feel free to reach out. Any questions or any thoughts that you guys have, would love to hear from you, because the more feedback we get, the more we can improve as well. So
the more you know that. All right, and with that, thank you guys for your time. Thank you all for listening, and until next time, may the Force be with you.